commanding the battalion prior to D-Day?
Colonel Woods.
Do you recall him? What was he like?
Not really, so I think I only met him very passing. I would never, I mean, I just, you know, I mean, officer, we held in, well, respectful, really. I mean, you hear me say about Jack Williams, I mean, after a fact, was always respectful to him. I mean, well, mine, he's a sort of guy, he punched into sort of saying respectful, I mean, but which is great. I mean, I if a guy is worked his way up from the ranks like Jack Williams had, then I respected him.
Do you call any of the other officers other than Williams?
Yeah, there was the as I say, the one, I know there was a Canadian officer with us, and there'd be a New Zealander. He might have been Australian, but I think I'm pretty sure he was I'm sure that it was a New Zealander, but he could have been an Aussie, I don't know. But they were relatively young. They would only be about, I thought about 24-ish. But quite two handsome lads, and they were, you know, they were sort of film stars, if you understand. You know, and so it wasn't, they weren't fighting the war, you know.
Very, you know what they were like as officers?
Well, I never really come in contact with them, apart from that they're sort of cheerful. You know, and if you saluted them, it was a sort of, you know, boring fellas. And that was nice. And I thought that was refreshing, actually, you know, I mean, in comparison to British officers who were, well, commanded respect, which I don't knock at that. I mean, I don't knock that.
And were
they
good officers, do you believe?
Yes, yeah, I think they were all good officers. I think they were, yeah. And as I say, well, I must admit, I feel ashamed to say it now, I should have really gone to see Jack Williams, because he only lived down the road.
Did they give you confidence in what was to come?
Oh, yes, I'd say. I mean, of course, I used to think of Jack more as a father figure, really. I mean, because he must have been, yeah, I thought he'd have been about 32 or 30. I mean, I'd have been, well, more than 20, really. I mean, but I would say, hey, so then again, you might have only been 28. I mean, they are all old men, so 3 years older than you. But mine, always, oh, I say, all the officers, as far as I was concerned, you gave them respect. And I think they spoke to us with a certain amount of respect anyway. I think it's a two-way thing, really.
How did you feel about going abroad into this situation to land on a hostile shore and the possibility that something might happen to you? Did it concern
I never thought I was going to get hurt anyway, to be honest with you. I knew I was going to survive. And I've always been a great believer. If you think you weren't going to do it, you wouldn't do it. I'm afraid this is something that was, I was never depressed. Never, ever. I'm never depressed now. In fact, I think I infuriate them at times. Because I always think there's, no, I don't get depressed.
Some men must have shown that they were
concerned. Yes, I felt sorry for people who had children. I think guys who were married had children. I think they had it really tough. I mean, we had no responsibilities as youngsters, you know. I mean, and that was it.
You can't recall coming across anyone who was getting to be in that kind of state prior to going abroad, prior to going to Russia.
Yeah, I think I mentioned to you before the guy from Ashington who had been. He'd been thrown out of the Air Force, or because he was a pilot or something. No, he always remained with me as a sort of a serious man. He was serious, but I had a lot of respect for that guy. He used to, as I said to you before, he talked about inflation. Well, I didn't know what the word inflation meant. I think he was a big thinker. In fact, I don't think he survived. I think he got killed fairly early on, if I remember rightly.
It didn't pay to have a strong imagination to be a strong thinker.
No, not really. I think really, approach every day as it came. I think if I'd watched certain guys later in the invasion, that when they sort of went on a downer, it seemed as though that was it. It seemed as though two or three days they'd gone, they'd died, and or wounded, or whatever, you know. It's funny. I must admit, I think it was very strong that way.
But you felt
that
the battalion was up to it?
Oh, yes, I'd say very. As I said before, I think really, let's get on with it and let's go home and get it all done with. See, I always felt, I know I was always a dreamer. I mean, I know when we were on route marches, when people were falling left, right, and centre, I'd think, one day I'll come along this road and I'll drive a car along here. And in them days, drive a car, you've made it. I must admit, yeah.
Do you recall leaving the wood and going to the docks?
Yeah, I just remember getting into vehicles, and again, we didn't see much, because don't forget, if you were inside the vehicle, and not, you didn't see which way you were going.
You don't know whether civilians were there to see you off, or see you on the way down the road?
I don't recall any civilians at all, really. I mean, all I remember is we were going into this enclosed area, which would be the docks, no doubt, obviously, and then I think we stayed the night on, might have been two nights on the boat. I might have been two nights. Just so we did see a lot of high ranking officers, but not anybody we ever knew. I mean, I think after all, we were only minions, really. I mean, I think, really speaking in hindsight, I think we were really the disposables, really. Now, thinking about it, as I think a lot more now than I did then. Yes, I think we were just, I think really we were seen as disposables. Now.
And now you were actually moving and would be moving very quickly.
Yes,
know.
Yes.
The adrenaline, was it flowing a bit?
I really, honestly, all it feels awful to say, but I just want to get there and let's get it on with. I didn't feel any danger, obviously. I mean, again, being naive. I just don't. I think I was just a big kid.
So you moved on to your landing craft.
Yeah.
And it was postponed 24 hours. What did they do for the next 24 hours whilst you were, in effect, hanging about?
I think his body's just lying all over, really. You know, I mean, if you went to the loo, I mean, you had to fight your way to get to the toilet, you know, and now I can't remember whether it was landing craft we got in then, or they got on bigger boats then got off, or whether we got off onto the landing craft just before we got on the, now I can't remember that.
I think most have gone onto what you call landing ships, infantry, they had two gangways down, one on each side.
Aye.
There were bigger vessels
than
little landing craft.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm sure. I have a funny feeling we had to climb over the side and jump over the side into these bloody landing craft with about 20, 30 of us. Another front drop down, LC1. LC landing craft ones, or something. And anyway, all they did, the front flopped down and we jumped out. That's right.
So you would go across on a larger ship?
I'm sure we did. Yes, yeah. Yes, that's right.
Who crewed the large ship, do you recall?
I do. Truthfully, I don't remember seeing. In fact, if I remember rightly, I think they were bloody. I don't think they were military, actually.
They were naval people.
I don't think they were naval people.
They
might have been, I mean, but they didn't seem dressed as military.
The crossing itself, how bad was it?
Oh, now then. The crossing itself, I can't recall it being bad, but it went very. I know we had to put on these oilskin things to cover you completely. Now then, I must admit that was the only time, just before we landed, I felt I was going to be sick. I don't think it was excitement. I think it was just the heat of having these bloody, they were like plastic things we put over ourselves, that's right. I know once I took it off, I was all right, but I felt I was going to be sick. Aye. But, they were horrible. And I think I said, just before we landed, I just felt I was going to be sick. But it wasn't with any apprehension, I'm sure it was. I think it was being purely uncomfortable. Because we were down below, you know, and it was the heat was generating in these was terrible.
Was it a night journey?
Yeah, that's right.
Could you sleep? Did you sleep?
I can't recall that. We may have nodded off, obviously. I think, yeah, you must have nodded off. You couldn't have just. I think a lot of playing cards and that between the cells, you know, but there wasn't much room for anything. I know getting up to the toilet is one hell of a job. I know that. You're climbing on your bodies.
Sickness? Was there a lot of seasickness that you saw?
I don't recall it, really. I don't recall the seasickness, but I know only that just before we landed, I felt sick because but it was the heat of the. I didn't feel it was any nausea or anything of getting off the off or anything. I just felt as all sort of come out of sweat as I was going to be sick. I was like, oh God! I just pulled the damn thing off and felt a lot better. Once the air hit you, I was all right. I mean, okay. But I think it was being down probably in the hold part or wherever it was. Whether it was the hold, I don't know. But I know it was actually hot.
Had you received any stripes by this stage of the?
No.
Your story?
No.
You still were private.
Yeah.
What are your memories of landing?
Well, I just remember there's one or two more sergeants that was with us. I can't remember the names. I know Naylor was with us. I remember him. I know Jack Williams was with us. Lou Turner. He was a Lance Scorpio, was Lou Turner. No, he was Lou Turner. One, two more. I got the names of them just passed me. But I just remember then at the. I'm sure we climbed out. That's right. We climbed into these ruddy LC1s. I'm sure it was LC1 to call it. Anyway, we then went down towards the beach. And of course, by this time, it was. I don't know the one or two. We didn't go in one at a time, or something. We went in as a. You know.
151 Brigade followed 69 Brigade. They'd gone in first.
That's the Green Howard, that's right. That's right. Well, go on.
Do you recall the scene as you approached that beach?
Yeah, quite a bit of smoke. A lot of fire. You know, machine gun fire and things like this, and shells. Yeah, I think the artillery is coming in there. And I always remember when we went into land, I'm sure there were about 20, 30 of us in one of these LC1s. What's the LC1?
LCI.
LCI. Infantry. That's right. LCI. I thought it was LC1s. Anyway, as we went in, they fought the front of them. I don't know who did that. I can't remember that. Anyway, as we're landing down, I always remember Jack giving me a sort of, we're here. And, come on, kid. That's something like that he said to me. And, anyway, there was a little Yorkshire lad, well, little Yorkshire, same size as me, but he's very, very, he's quite thin, he was. And, as he stepped off, he just vanished. And I thought, hell. He just went, and that was it. I thought, at that time, I just flipped me belt, and I let go. And I went down the hole with him, but I come up. And all I remember is Jack, that's right, Jack Williams. So I always remember Jack Williams pulling me up. And I said, thanks. I thought I'd gone.
The pack.
Well, I had this feeling that when I saw him go, because he'd be about, and he didn't come back up, and I said, woo. And I don't know why, but I did. And as I went down, I slipped my hand out. And next thing is, Jack Williams got me out of my arm, his shoulder thing was. He said, hey, not that way. And sort of give me a sort of grin, which he always had. Yeah, he had a tripping grin, he had, Jack had. And I always remember saying, I owe you one. And he said, well, he said, nothing, he took me a pack. I got another pack on me. And it would, whoever it was for, it was about out somewhere here. But anyway, it was one that must have been one of the other lads' pack.
I think you said you'd taken off your waterproof before you got into
the. Oh, yes, oh, I. Horrible.
Was it to remain deep all the time, or did they get in trouble?
No. Well, Jack must have been on the edge. But I went, the guy who was over to my right, he went straight down. And that was when I thought, where he's gone. And I just unbuckled my belt. As I went down, I just slid off my shoulders. And then the next thing is that, well, the next thing all happened so fast was Jack Williams pulled me up by the epaulets or something.
And you pretty soaked.
Oh, I soaked the skin. But so what? Oh, yes, ah, there was a few bodies lying around and a few holes around and lots of, like, burnt-out drums and things like that. You know, it was quite a bit of debris, actually, there was. And I know there's quite a bit of sniping, because as I come down, I went in, tried to get underneath this barbed wire as we were going along. My pack got caught on, and Jack wouldn't come on. He said, where are you going? I couldn't get off the bloody thing for the pack. And I'm just going to slip out. He says, you're all right. He says, go. He put his foot behind him. And, oh, thank you. And,
what did you do when you, in effect, hit the beach?
We ran for about 15 yards and then dropped. And then we sort of all stuck together. And Jack, like, mother hen around us. Sergeant Nelly, he was pretty well okay as well. And, he was quite small, he was very small and slim.
Did you get time to look around at the sea scene that was behind you?
Well, I just saw lots of ships, that's all, you know, really. But to be honest with you, there was a lot of sniper fire and this, and I think kept you pretty well occupied. And I thought, hey, this could have been worse. That was my honest opinion. I thought this could have been a lot worse. And I expected them just mowing us down from the tops, you know. But there was obviously... oh, that's right, we had these bloody bikes. They called me bikes. For some reason, another. Yeah, I know. We'd all got bikes as well. And anyway, I'd got a bike by this time again. And
we're carrying that off the
boat. I don't know where, but mine, I know I lost mine because mine went down the bottom. But anyway, I must have picked another one up somewhere because we're all going to try to set away along this little. Which we've got the top. Not that I can recall. No. We were spread out pretty well. I mean, the company lads were all round, you know, and all your platoon sections, you're all pretty well together. You know, you weren't stuck together. So I don't know you did it, but you did. And then we sort of went beyond this sort of dune thing. We sort of, and then there was a pillbox up there. And there seemed to be a lot of fire coming from where. I don't know how it was coming from because, you know, it seems over. But there was a lot of sort of sniper fire going around. It was still, for some reason.
What time of the day had you, or morning had you landed?
I thought it was about 10 o'clock or something like that. I could be wrong. Was that? So I thought they landed at 8. We landed about 10.
Yeah, between 10 and 11.
I was about right on that one. And then I remember it was all sort of amalgamating in clusters. And then, you know, Jack was, this way, lads, you know, down here, down this sort of lane thing. And then we'd only gone about 100 yards, and then, boing, boing, you know, oh, on the bike. And this British shell come over, landed somewhere. I went over it, and I got a carbon on the backside. And I always remember, but down on this sort of ditch thing, and I thought, oh, I've been wounded. I put my hand down my trousers, and when I come out, it was all the yellowy battery, the carbuncle, and the bust. I forgot all about that. I never found a twinge from the. And I'll tell you what a size of this carbuncle that I'd go on my backside. But anyway, I found. And I put my hand down my trousers and up there on the backside, bust. Oh, no.
Was the idea that the company or those of you that had cycles were kind of.
That was the last I saw on the bike. I didn't go no more. Anyway, it was easy to get rid of anyway. I mean, we're just a pain. I mean, it must have only gone about 250 yards probably on the bikes the other day. That was when that shell come and it sort of landed, I don't know, it landed in the middle of the track or what. But I know we all went over and I ended in the ditch, Jack Williams and all these lot. We're all more the same, and I think we'd all say we'd had enough of that. We just sort of toddled off without them. But I mean, I was quite relieved after yourself. I thought I'd been shot, you know.
Have you seen any French civilians up to now?
No, 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 no. Oh, yes. Oh, there's quite a bit of that. Oh, it is quite. And I think they're mainly farms and outbuildings and things like that. And I think we...
The roads you were going up with, the small, narrow...
Tracks, yeah. I don't think they were... No, well, they were just tracks, really.
Had you been told what your objective was?
Well, we knew that... I think we've got to be about... I think on D-Day 1, we were 12 miles or something, open.
The first day?
Aye. Would that be about right?
And what did you do then when you got to...
Well, actually, never did nothing, really. When we got there, we dug in the slit trenches. And
how effective was your digging tool?
pretty good. That was, well, it was a short 18-inch sort of thing, I think, but it was quite effective. but we dug in all right.
There's a name, some of you, which was the place that you did reach on that first day. Does that stick in your memory?
No, not really. The thing is, all I remember is I know we'd achieved where we'd set off to, so that would be, what, 10 mile, something like that.
You dug your slit trenches, and obviously the battalion, that as well as the yourself, got into those defensive positions that were.
Oh, yes, I mean, the one thing is obviously you dug in where. You more or less dug all in together, really, you know, I mean, in a sort of line of some sort, you know, I mean, and got your body concealed down in and.
Were they individuals, or were you with someone?
No, I was with another guy.
The two of you dug the same?
Yeah.
How deep did you dig it?
We dig it about... ...3 foot, maybe a bit more. It just depends on the ground, really. You know. But there's two of us, isn't that? I'm trying to think of his name. He was a lad.
Aye,
that's right. He was a lad from somewhere in Yorkshire. He was. I can't think of his name. Harry, somebody.
And you dug in there for the night.
Yeah.
Did you get food brought up to you?
Don't recall any.
So you're on your own.
On your own, with just some rations we had on. I think. Corned beef, I think, or something like that. Corned beef and I think there's little tablets making tea and porridge.
Did you have these self-heating cans, do you recall?
No, I can't recall them, no. No, I can't recall them self-heating.
How many days rations were you carrying? Presumably it was 1 or 2 days.
Oh, it'll be a couple of days. Just emergency packs, I think, really. I think they were getting food up to us, really. I think we didn't do much. But as long as I got corned beef, I didn't give a damn, really. I mean, I'd give cigarettes away if we got.
What were your thoughts after this first hectic day?
Well, snipers are the big problem. And I thought, oh, that's not nice. Then, on the night that we dug in, God, what a night that was. There was, whether we were firing at each other, but I know one thing, a fighting patrol did come to us that night, and it was a pretty big one. I think there'd be about probably 20 men in it. But I'll tell you what, they were certainly seasoned, because I think all they did really was to come to us to get us to shoot each other up, really. And they succeeded, because we were fighting each other. In fact, in the end, I think they were shouting out, hey, no, steady, steady, steady. You know, they were going around saying, take it easy. We'll fight at each other. So they did a good job on us. I think. Of course, then again, we were amateurs, really, I suppose, really, in comparison. Because then we found out, of course, there were the Panzer Grenadiers were. We went to a very seasoned.
You didn't actually see them?
No. Except the next day. It's funny, the guy who was with me, this Harry, he said to me, oh my God, he says, "You were lucky last night." He says, "The guy stood over you with this gun." And then he just sort of walked away. He said, "Which was 6'7" tall." And when we go down the trench the next morning, the footprints were massive. I thought, "God, I thought he just winded me up." But mine, I must admit, did not. I thought, "If this is war, I don't like it," because it was horrendous. It really was frightening. I mean, you know, shots going all over, and then you could feel them coming past you. You know, I mean, they were screaming as they went past you. Of course, in the night, I mean, sounding worse. Not that this is war, I don't like it. And I mean, that really did. I think that night I was pretty frightened. That night.
You can say that in a firefight, do you get frightened or are you trying to be frightened?
In what?
A firefight, you know, where you're actually fighting with someone.
Well, I don't think we're actually fighting. I think we're fighting each other. And I think really, in hindsight now, or as I did afterwards, if we'd have just played it cool, we didn't have gone through. And that was it. But I think they did a good job on us, really, because then again, they were seasoned. And there's lots of us that weren't. I think they achieved what they did. They found out where we were. And that was it. I mean, we should.
Is this when they experienced amongst you who've been through the desert and so
I would say they're any better than we were. No, I don't think they're any different than we were. I think they're all panicking. Because I always found that it's funny. The first day I was full of it. I mean, I must admit, the day is just a big assault course. This is, you know. And after a while, people didn't rush around as much, trying to, you know, sort of, as you went past, say, we'll just clear this farm or homestead here, run around there and push the doors through, and one thing or another, and check out. But I don't recall seeing any French people the first day.
When it quietens, high energy flow, what's the immediate reaction to you as a person, you know, as an individual? The immediate reaction when the firing ceases?
Well, the first thing I did say, "Hey, listen, lad, you better get a hold of yourself. You were frightened last night. Scared." I thought, "I don't like that. I don't want that happen again." And I think that first night did me the world of good, actually, because I realised that even the Nailers and the other guys who'd been all through it all, they were just as bad as we were. So I thought, well, we did that all right. The next day when you come down to thinking about it.
Were there any casualties?
Yes, there was. I think, if I remember rightly, I think we lost about, probably only about 8 men, I think we did in our section, you know. I mean, so that was, well, really, I thought we were.
And any Germans amongst them?
Yes, we brought a few. We actually brought in a few snipers. Actually, well, I don't say they were snipers. They were. I think they I couldn't say they were snipers, because I think the snipers just walked the way back out. They didn't stay there. They just moved back, and I think they just harassed you all the while. The professional ones. But I think the ordinary guy, the ordinary infantryman, would have just come out with these.
These were the coastal defence.
Yeah. I don't think they were quite the.
Did you see any of them yourself?
Yes, I always saw quite a few. Dead scared, petrified. I think they were actually worse than we were. Well, I can't say how lads was really that.
Were they Germans or Russians or what?
Germans, as far as I could say, yes. I don't think they were. No. I would say, well, they looked very untidy. Very untidy. I was amazed. In fact, they looked more like, I'd have said, you'd expected pioneers. You know, they obviously weren't fighting men, you know, but obviously had the rifles with them, you know, but they were very scruffy. As you would say, you know.